May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 731, tune St. Timothy 860. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Hymn number 731.
Help us to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 7, commencing at verse 11, and chapter 8. Chapter 7, book of Genesis, commencing at verse 11, and chapter 8. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the south same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8. And God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were in the place of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living living, as I have done. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. May the Lord bless those well-known portions of his word. May he grant fresh insight into them, friends. May he help us in prayer. Dear Lord, do help us as we come before thee in a most solemn attitude of prayer. Lord, we are poor, feeble, wretched sinners. We are lost, undone. We are black. But it's a great mercy, Lord, if in thy great favour towards us, thou hast shown us we are black yet comely. Lord, it is the work of grace. It is the work of thy love alone that can make us comely. Oh, Lord, do remember us each as we gather this morning. Ah, that we might come desiring to see Jesus. Oh, we think of those that came. They came to Philip and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. And oh, Lord, if there have been those friends here this morning whose prayer has been that they would see Jesus. Oh, no man. Not the desire necessarily good that it is to meet with others, but to see Jesus, to enter into thy courts, Lord, that we should see thee, that we should have a word from thee, that we should feel the warmth of the Lord's love in our breast. Oh, we do pray, Lord, then there may have been dear friends here on the stretch for a blessing, that thou wouldest come, that thou wouldest favour them despite their sins, despite their wretched hearts, despite their lack of faith, despite their weakness, that thou wouldest still come, and that thou wouldest still bless them, and that thou wouldest still grant them a crumb of mercy. That crumb which they crave, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed. Oh, but feed them, Lord. Give them a feast. Oh, a feast of fat things.
wine upon the lees well refined, that will enter into the soul, that will strengthen them for the journey of life that continues and for the journey in the soul. Thou knowest the experiences of each one. Thou knowest where they are this morning, Lord. And oh, we do pray that there will have been those who have truly felt that joy that it's the Lord's day to enter into thy courts with thanksgiving and with praise. Oh, give us a spirit of true thanksgiving. Lord, we were thankful for the prayer of thanksgiving our dear friend offered up before the service. Thanksgiving that we are found in the house of God and not in the courts of wickedness this day. And Lord, so easily we could be. And Lord, if we're honest, sometimes our heart still goes after those places of wickedness. Oh Lord, keep us in the narrow way. Oh, that thy word will be a light unto our path and a lamp to us, as the psalmist talks of. Oh, that we do not go wandering into bypath meadow. Keep us. Ah, one says in the hymn, we are fools. Keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us ever. Keep us in that narrow way till him I view. So, Lord, do remember the dear friends as they have entered into chapel this morning. Thou knowest what is on their mind. Thou knowest what burdens they carry. Thou knowest what concerns they have. It is our hope, Lord, that that greatest concern will be for their never-dying soul. But, Lord, there are those concerns and cares in life. There are those burdens that we carry. Oh, Lord, help us to lay them before thee at the throne of grace. Help us to leave them with thee alone and to not try to manage them ourselves. Oh Lord, thou knowest. May it also be that those have come in then with joy this morning, truly desiring that the Lord would speak. The voice of their beloved. Behold, he come, leaping over the mountains, skipping over the hills. They desire to hear the voice of him who alone can speak. Those precious truths in the gospel to them, and that see and feel a touch of his love, that heavenly love. As a hymn writer speaks of drinking full draughts of heavenly love. Oh Lord, we can't take much of it here below, but just a touch from thee. Ah Lord, heal us, Emmanuel, here we are waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, that is to thee go, and Saviour, we are such. Oh, that we can echo it in our hearts. We hear those words quoted, Lord. There's that echo in our heart. Lord, the echo, the spiritual echo. What do we know of these things, Lord? Oh, teach us. Teach us to have those true desires. But there may have been those that have come up feeling, well, there's not much hope with me. Oh, the Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me. The Lord is not with me. I have this deep trial and, oh, Lord, do appear. Do appear for them. Oh, do show them, Lord, that despite the trials of the way, thou wilt be with them. Thou wilt hold thy right hand, saying unto them, fear not, I will help thee. Oh Lord, thou knowest where thy poor people need the fear not. So many we know in thy word, but Lord, that application of them is needed. Lord, do bless the saints then of God as they are here this morning and in urgent prayer. And Lord, should there be any that have no interest whatsoever in these things, Lord, may that interest be engendered today. May it be put into their heart, oh, what must I do to be saved? Lord, the answer is nothing, of course, in terms of what we can do in the flesh, but Lord, do show them, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, Lord, do come in. Oh, that we might feel that we are not just going through the act of religious worship this morning, but that thou art with us and that thou wilt go with us. Do pray for the dear pastor of this people, Lord. Do bless him. We pray that thou wilt, oh, be with him in the trying circumstance that he cannot be away at this time. And, Lord, oh, what meaneth these things? But we pray that thou wilt bless him abundantly in his pastorate here and in the ministry amongst his people and elsewhere. And Lord, do grant him the signs following the preaching of the word. And oh Lord, that he may have souls to his hire. He may see, Lord, that thou art using him in the way that thou hast designed and thy work from beginning to end. But that he can bless thee for it because, Lord, thou art using him. And he is in his right place. Oh, and how the old enemy tries us, Lord. And how he tells us that we're not in our right place. And, oh, Lord, do be with him, we pray. And remember his dear one in this affliction. Oh, we're thankful, Lord, for that measure of improvement. But, Lord, what a trial. What a deep thing to walk through for her. Oh, bless it to her never dying soul, Lord. But oh, we do pray thou wilt be with her. She may have the comforts and consolations of the gospel this day. Thou wilt touch her, Lord, even in her bed of affliction, as it were, that thou wilt make all her bed in her affliction. Thou wilt draw near. Thou wilt graciously help her and be with her, Lord. Oh, we pray for these things and grant those healing touches. Oh, Lord, that healing in thee. We do pray for it, Lord. We plead for them. And, oh, Lord, we do pray for each of thy servants. And, Lord, there are those not able to preach this day. And those that are having to watch how much preaching they do through exhaustion, Lord. We do pray. We pray particularly for James Burgess, Lord, recently sent out. But that trial at the moment in not able to stand up, Lord, with his affliction that's come upon him, O Lord. Lord, do raise him up again and help him in the ministry, Lord. And in all his concerns, we pray. And we also pray for dear Roland Wheatley, Lord, that thou would strengthen him and help him in all that he does, that he and they both and each of thy servants will prove I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But we do need that strength. We're just mortal men, Lord. Oh, and the weaknesses of the flesh. Oh, do come in, dear Jesus. Help each one of thy servants this day. Are they gone trembling? Are they gone fearing? Are they gone, Lord, desiring that the Lord would graciously help them, knowing that they cannot speak well of thee without thee, Lord, opening their mouth wide and filling it? They know that, Lord, their weakness of the flesh, and they need the dear Lord Jesus to come in. Oh, Lord, remember thy servants. Oh, we do beg, and oh, we do pray. It is a desire of our heart, Lord. We see the letters flow in at this time of the year, and, Lord, numerically not enough men to go around, and we pray this, Lord, that yet thou wilt send forth more labourers into the harvest. Oh, Lord Jesus, do come and remember us in our little denomination. Exercise men regarding this work. And, Lord, send them in thy time that they will blow the gospel trumpet with a certain sound. Oh, Lord, do come. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt remember them. And truly be with thy servants and ministers this day. And our own dear pastor back at Staplehurst, help him, Lord. And be kind and gracious to the friends there as they gather. Lord, we do seek for others of thy afflicted servants, some of the older ones and those going through treatment and other things, Lord. Oh, bless them, we pray, and draw near. Oh, give them the consolations and comforts of the gospel in their own souls, that which they preach for many years, some of them. Lord, thou knowest. We do plead for each one. And Lord, we do seek that thou would remember the dear young friends here in the Sunday school and bless it, Lord. Bless that which he's done and remember the young friends, Lord, and be with them in their schooling now coming to the end of term. But Lord, be with them through the summer holidays and those at school at home, Lord. Remember them, Lord, in these things and remember parents and hear and answer their prayers and help them, Lord. Do bless the young friends. We have a great concern for them. We pray that thou wilt be with them and keep them. Lord, we do seek for those in middle life then with the concerns and the heat and burden of the day. Oh, remember them, Lord, in life's journey, we plead. And those in older age with all the concerns there, Lord. And oh, but what a mercy that even down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. Lord, may they feel a little of it. Be with any that have a particular thing. Ah, they've brought it into chapel this morning. It sits on their shoulder, Lord. Oh, we beg, Lord, that thou wilt appear in whatever it is, whatever the matter. Ah, that thou wilt make a way, that they will prove that when the Lord's people have need, his goodness will find out a way. Oh, do come, dear Jesus, now. Do help us, Lord. Do open up the word. Do grant, Lord, there may be a portion for 7 and also for 8. Oh, may we feed upon these things. Lord, we pray for thy favour. And we pray for us in the nation. Lord, remember us. We've turned away from thee. Oh, we're reading, Lord, of how the world was in the time of the flood. And Lord, we're no better today. Sin, sin, sin in the nation. And those things that we've put on the statute book that we never should have passed if we were living anywhere near to thy word. Lord, oh, iniquity runneth down our streets. Turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be turned. We do pray. Remember us in the nation. Grant much prayer for our nation. We do plead. Now forgive our poor prayers. Do come, dear Jesus. Make one in the midst. We do plead it. That, Lord, truly we shall prove that thou wilt be with us. Oh, help us now, each of us. Help in hearing, help in speaking, help at the desk. Remember us each, Lord, and help at the organ too. Remember us each. We plead it for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 396, tune Salvator 652. Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. Hymn 396.
so much the help of the dear Lord, friends, I would direct your very prayer for the tension to the first four words in Genesis 8. Genesis chapter 8. And God remembered Noah. And God remembered Noah. Friends, in my own estimation, I had a different text to bring right up until Friday evening, and our friend here will know that we are very burned and exercised about bringing the right words. But the Lord seemed to speak, whispering to me as I sat outside in the garden and tried to meditate with God's word, to go to read about Noah. And as I read it, these words seemed to break my heart. And God remembered Noah, because I felt a little hope in my own experience that God had remembered me. Despite so many things, and despite one's own thoughts at times that he hath forgotten and forsaken us. But you know, friends, he's a merciful God. And yesterday we had a Sunday school outing at Staplehurst, and some of the friends here came with us. And you know, as we stood outside where the gorillas we were looking at the zoo there, a friend turned round and said to me this. They said, "Have you thought about Noah?" Friends, I felt this. The Lord confirmed to me that I must bring this word. I couldn't hardly answer them. Because, friends, God remembered Noah, and it had been so much put into my mind. Oh, that we must come with this word. Friends, there's a solemn start to this, you know. This is a merciful word. It's a kind and gracious word. May the Lord help us to open it up. But before, read it in chapter 7, everything was destroyed. Sin, friends. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. The whole creation groans through thee. We quote these words, friends. Let's dwell on them for a minute. Pregnant cause of misery. The miserable things in your life, if the Lord's showing you. The miserable things in my life. Pregnant cause of misery. Misery to the world, and they know nothing of it, and they will know in eternal misery, friends. Sin. What hath sin done? How lightly we think and consider it sometimes. Well, friends, I do. I do. Sin. And as we spoke in prayer, how we've gone in our nation in such a sinful way that these minority groups that we wish to speak little of, but you know, friends, what I'm referring to, and the many things that we see our good Christian Institute have to stand against these days. May we pray much for these things. Sin in our own hearts, sin in the nation. That's the background to this word, friends. Oh, solemn, isn't it? Everything was destroyed apart from those eight souls in the ark and the animals that went in two by two. And you young friends will know we saw different ones of the animals yesterday, those that came with us and those that didn't. You have seen them yourselves before at the various zoos, how fearfully and wonderfully they are made. And they had to go into the ark to be preserved. The Lord's great mercy in that. But you know, all the others were destroyed. Destroyed.
How solemn it is, friends. And that hymn comes to mind. His angels are coming like reapers to one day to gather the tares from the wheat. If Jesus should come to our meeting today to call out the Christians by name, oh, how we would listen to what he would say. How solemn the moments would seem. They would, but his angels are coming, it goes on to say in the next verse, like reapers one day, to gather the tares from the wheat. And this is the solemnity of it. The wheat here were just the eight. The rest were destroyed. He hath created the waster to destroy. Friends, where do you, which seat are you sitting in this morning in Lamberhurst Chapel? The waster to destroy or the seat of life? Would you be one of the eight calling out if there was an ark, if I might put it in that right sense in today's world and the world was being destroyed? Would you be those called out to be amongst the Lord's people? What an exercise and burden it ought to be to us. But you know, if I speak for myself, we walk in and out of the chapel and, well, friends, are we rightly burdened and concerned for our standing before God? Sin, then, is the backcloth to our text. Individual sin, national sin, church sin, chapel sin, friends, it is. Oh, these are hard sayings, I know. But sin, the blackness, the vileness. So, the setting here. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing. And every man, apart from the two that went in with the beast and the eight that went in to the ark, who had found favour with God, found favour with God. See, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Now, it comes straight into my mind, friends. Has the Lord commanded you to do something? And are you still not listening to the word and command of God? When he says, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right or to the left. When he says, this is what I will have you to do. Oh, maybe one's come in, you've got an exercise, you've got a burden. Friends, what does the Lord say? Follow me, follow me. You know what it is. And as it comes into, I had no thoughts of this, friends. But the Lord is so clear here that Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. All, friends. Oh, you say, well, the thing that's upon me, it's uncomfortable. It doesn't rest with my nature. It doesn't rest with the way I want to walk in. Oh, what does the hymn writer say, friends? The way I take cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. Friends, friends, if there's a Jonah here, you're going the other way. You don't desire to do that which the Lord has instructed you and shown you. You know, friends, he will turn your feet back. He will work against you. You will know something of those miseries that that sin of disobedience to the Lord will bring. And so God remembered Noah. He remembered Noah because Noah was given faith to believe in God. He remembered Noah because Noah was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to pray that the Lord would give us grace to follow hard after him in every single way. His track I see. Do you see his track? Do you desire to see his track? The track to heaven, friends, that the Lord Jesus has set before us. His track I see. And I'll pursue my own ways. I'll pursue what I wish to do. I'll pursue in the pleasures of this life. I'll pursue in the sins and the ways that are attractive to my flesh. Friends, no. And I'll pursue the narrow way, the way of difficulty. the way of trial, the way that's hedged up so often, the way of affliction, but I'll pursue the narrow way till Him I view. God remembered Noah. You know, Noah, we don't read, friends, for 150 days that the Lord spoke to him. He may well have done. It's not recorded in God's word, but if you think about this, what a trial. He's shut up in the ark. He's following the Lord's command. He's in the ark. The windows of the ark aren't open. Naturally speaking, you'd think it would have been dark inside. Darkness. 150 days there. That's a long time, friends, in that ark. Shut up, feeding all those animals, no doubt, and I'm sure that there was a lot to do, but we don't read that the Lord spoke to him in that time. Your soul in darkness, in difficulty. You think the Lord has forgotten you. You think that the Lord is not speaking to you. Ah, my God hath forsaken me. Beautiful, isn't it, in Isaiah? You know, some of these things touch us, you know, friends, because we know what it is to walk in them. Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Oh, he didn't forget Noah, did he? God remembered Noah. Four words, friends. Four little words for you and I to take home and plead and take the name Noah away and put our Christian name there, that the Lord might remember us. Oh, friends, to remember us is to remember us through life and all the turmoil of life, and to remember us in death, to remember us in eternity. Ah, so he says, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Yea, they may forget, but this word, friends, despite the deep affliction, despite the darkness, despite the 150 days of darkness, or however many days it is with you, despite it, friends, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Friends, he's not forgotten you. You may have come in this morning feeling I'm forgotten. I'm completely forgotten of God. Oh, I feel I've walked with the Lord for many years, but in this latest trial, in this affliction that's upon me, in this trouble that I'm in, he hath forsaken me. No, friends, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake, says that lovely hymn that's been blessed to so many people, friends, 329. Oh, he'll never forsake his people. You're still on praying ground. He can still help you and encourage you. Yes, and this is it. Why will he not forget you? This is so beautiful, friends, this verse. It touches our heart. If truly the Lord would soften us, behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. The wounds I received when suffering for thee, says the Lord. It says the hymn. Yes, because of that and all that I've suffered for you, that then I will come to you again. I will come to you. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls, thy matters, thy concerns, thy soul, they're continually before me. You know, as it comes into my mind, there is that vineyard of red wine that Isaiah speaks of. A vineyard. I, the Lord, do keep it. Ah, that, friends, I, the Lord, do keep it. I water it every day. Every day, friends. Oh, there may not be that awareness that we're being watered and fed in the way, but I, the Lord, do keep it. And he's keeping your soul, friends. He's keeping you despite the real difficulty and the trial that you're in at the moment. It may be in soul things, it may be in providence. You know, friends. But he will remember you. He will. Oh, friends, to not be forsaken. But, you know, the enemy will come in like a flood. How many times does he say, look, your God's left you. He told me, friends, that he'd leave me this morning. You stand up there as an empty vessel and your mouth will be shut. Oh, the devil's a liar, friends, but he'll do that to you. He'll tell you that this affliction that's upon you will be the end of you and the end of your religion. Friends, he is a liar. And oh, I do pray that if one has come in like that, that you may be able to, with the help of the Lord, you can't rebuff him yourself. You can't, you know, the power of the enemy. And perhaps the younger friends will try to explain here a little. When we talk about Satan and the enemy and what it actually means when we say he speaks to us. Friends, young friends, it's often in our mind. It's as if something comes into our mind and those thoughts occur to us. Like they did to me as I sat at home pondering the word and it seemed to come into my thoughts. Your mouth will be shut up this morning. And that is the enemy, you see, and also our own thoughts, because we are very weak and sinful creatures. Oh, I hope I put it simply enough for you to understand when some of us talk of the enemy speaking to us. And our friend will know how solemn it is in the pulpit sometimes when we feel the enemy standing there with us sometimes. Because he will not have us to speak the word of God. And oh, may we have much prayer for the ministering servants and your dear pastor. Pray for him, friends, that the Lord will be with him and open his mouth wide as he stands before you. Because you know, friends, the enemy's not far away in all these things. And keep you in peace and love as a people. Because again, take us the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes, and we're thankful for it. But the little foxes are not far away. And God remembered Noah. He remembered the ark. After all this time of rain, the flood was 40 days upon the earth and the waters increased. But you know, it's quite a thought in this chapter 8 that we read. That, you know, there wasn't an immediate deliverance. The ark didn't suddenly come upon the top of Mount Ararat. It was gradual that the waters dispersed. And so often, you know, friends, when we're in a trial or trouble, we feel there will be that immediate deliverance. God's hand will be upon it and we will be delivered, just like that. It's such a mercy in God's hand, friends, that with some of those trials and difficulties, he brings us deliverance. It's a gradual deliverance, like it was here. The waters gradually abated. Oh, it's the Lord's hand from beginning to end. But there is that gradual work. So in spiritual things, friends, that gradual work, in some cases, in other cases, it's an immediate work, as we obviously consider the Saul upon the road to Damascus. But in many, it's that gentle work. Yes, gentle work of the Lord. So much that we can barely perceive it. But the waters abated over many months. Oh, your affliction that you're currently carrying and walking in, that pathway, that difficulty, whatever it is, take it to the Lord. That he may sustain you. That he may remember you. What a prayer that is. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. Ah, now who prayed that? I'm sure it comes to your mind as it does to mine. One of those in the dying moments of his life. What a prayer. What a prayer to enter that final Jordan with, friends. Remember me. But before we go there, another remember comes to my mind, the psalmist. Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, you know, the psalmist there, I think it's 106. Yeah, remember me with thy favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And this, friends, oh, visit me with thy salvation. All of those the Lord remembers, he will visit with his salvation. Oh, friends, this is the key prayer for us this morning. May I be amongst those that thou dost remember. Remember. Oh, and that thou dost not forget. Yes. But this, the psalmist also speaks. And friends, I'm coming back to those sins. You might say, well, I've heard enough of sin this morning. You started off in such a solemn way. I don't want to hear any more of it. No, friends, neither do I. But you know, he will have us to ponder these things. And this is where the psalmist, you know, he sums up really where our prayer should be around this word, remember. Remember not the sins of my youth. You young friends, I wonder why you think it says in the Bible much about the sin of our youth. Why is it referring to the sin of our youth? Because in those days we have a wandering heart. In those days the attractions of this world come so much to us, don't they? In those days we seek all these other things more naturally, as it were, than we would think upon God. The days of our youth, when we're growing up, when our mind's developing, when our body's developing, and all the things of this world, and we want to conform. We want to conform with everything and everybody out there in the world, don't we? There's that, even when we're older we do, but particularly when we're young. The sins of thy youth, the sins of thy youth. Oh, young friends, pray that the Lord would keep you. Pray that the Lord would watch over you. Pray that the Lord would remember you. Because in remembering you, he'd do all those things. All those things, friends. I verily believe it. But remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Is this your cry this morning, friends? According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. Ah, we prayed, I am black, but comely. The comeliness which is in Christ, the comeliness which is his work of salvation manifested in us, the comeliness which is in the new man of grace. No comeliness in the old man of sin. And the old man does manifest himself very much in the sins of our youth, friends. But, you know, don't think middle-aged friends and don't think old friends, because it talks about the sins of our youth, that you don't have things to be guilty of, and that you also, in some ways, are thankful that the Lord has delivered you from the sins of your youth. But what about the sins of last week, friends? What about the sins of this morning? You know, friends, we are born in iniquity, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It does not change according to age, you know. And it's such a solemn thing. I don't know, feel to be led out in that way, that sin, you know, its tentacles are all around us. Oh, to pray that the Lord would remember us and keep us. But this is beautiful, friends, the verse before, in this psalm of David, dear David. We hear much of him, don't we? But remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. Thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. I wonder, friends, as you sit here and hear that word, whether you could look back and remember some of the Lord's loving kindnesses to you. Friends, you know you're unworthy of it. But despite that blackness and that vileness, his favour that he's manifested towards you in this and in that, in things in this life, in opening doors, in closing doors. Oh, friends, God's appointments and disappointments. Change one letter, change the D to a his appointments to an H. Disappointment. His appointment. Young people, you have things that you might not get the results you want in exams at school. You may not get things work out exactly for you that you want. Look at that letter. H and a D. Disappointment to you. We all know disappointments. Oh, I know this is simple. It may be it's something helpful to older friends, but disappointment. God's appointments. In everything, friends. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. Why? Because he remembers us. And if he remembers us, he remembers us in everything, friends. Not in 90% of our life and soul concerns. In everything, friends. Oh, you know, I read somewhere that gold is refined. The maximum it could ever be refined to is 99.9%. You can't get perfect gold. The work of the Lord in salvation, in remembering his people, and remembering not, as it were, their sins against them. He's working that, friends. He's 100% perfect. Wrought out through his dear Son and that sacrifice upon Calvary. And that life that was renewed with the stone being rolled away. The utter stone of impossibility rolled away that he should rise again the third day. Oh, you know, they wanted to stop that. They were anxious. Set a watch. Set a seal. So that the... Because they will come to take away his body. Ah, set a watch. What power does man have? God remembered Noah. God remembered. Well, when we put this in the right way, friends. But his dear Son. He remembered his dear Son. That stone, who shall roll us away? It's gone. The stone's been rolled away by Almighty God. He remembered. He remembered. That on the third day, his Son will rise again and be seen. Oh, friends. Friends, these things. Well, may we come back to it and ponder it. And God remembered Noah. I read about a member of Blackpool Chapel, a man called George Preston, who served in the First World War. And this man, up until the age of 37, had left chapel. He'd had nothing to do with the house of God. And his mother would pray often that the Lord would remember her dear son. But there he was all those years to the age of 37. His mother died. He came back from the battlefields to his mother's funeral. Actually, it was before he went to the battlefields. He went to his mother's funeral in 1915. And, well, that was that. Well, then he thought he'd go to the memorial service and that would be it. No more chapel because he didn't want anything to do with it. Well, the Lord's servant spoke about the Heavenly Comforter. And, you know, it broke that man's heart. And he vowed to stay at to go back to chapel and to stay at chapel. He was led to join the church. And he went off to serve in 1916, but was then invalided out of the army. And you know, he died at a young age, 43, but the Lord worked the last 6 years of his life in answer to his mother's prayers, "Remember my boy." And it may be that some of you older, middle-aged friends are carrying young children, carrying others that are not conforming and following to the ways of the Lord's. And go into the Lord's house. Lord, continue to pray for them, dear friends. Oh, continue in those things. It did encourage me when I read that. But oh, remember. And the Lord remembered her son. And he was made useful in that period as a member of that church. Yes. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. They were the words that we use, friends. Oh, maybe a soul needs those this morning. That's the Lord remembering you. He doesn't say that I'm going to, in that word, he doesn't say I'm going to immediately give you comfort, but I will come to you. The promise of God is clear and sure. And you know, talking of promises, friends, we know that after the waters abated, that God gave a covenant, one of the covenants that the Lord gives. God gave in the Old Testament, you know, covenants that most of the covenants granted in the Old Testament, they were unconditional. The Lord would do them whatever. I wonder if you children know, there is a covenant is a promise. And God promised that he would never flood the world again. That was a Noahic or a covenant related to Noah. He would not flood the world again. And there were other promises given to Abraham and several others, I think seven covenants in all, And the one, friends, that we all need is the new covenant, the covenant of grace in the soul, in the heart, which is the work we've referred to of the new man. I say, friends, do you know that seventh covenant? Do you know it? The promise of God that for his people he will give them a new heart. A new heart. A heart that desires him. Oh, how important these things are. A new heart. You know, Samuel Medley was given a new heart, friends. 1759, that man was, he went off into the Navy and he was, they were fighting, I think, against the French. And it was, there were a lot of people wounded in that naval battle and he was severely wounded in the leg. And they said to him, tomorrow morning your leg will have to be taken off unless there is some significant improvement. Oh, how that man prayed that night. He'd not prayed to God before. He'd brought up in a godly house, but he had nothing to do with it. Run away to get away as far from God as he could. Or as far as it talks in Hymn 76, a sheep can run. Oh, we will run from the Lord if we can, you know. But he couldn't. He couldn't. This affliction was upon him. Well, the Lord remembered him that night in those prayers. The following morning, when they looked at his leg, they were staggered at the improvement in it, friends. But this is solemn. This is solemn, and this is a little warning for you and I. And that is that, as he recalled Samuel Medley, it changed me for a period, but I soon went back into my old ways. It was the beginning in a way with him, but he went back into his old ways. Oh, to pray that the Lord would remember us and keep us, and keep us away from wandering back into those old ways that we so easily would do. Friends, the ways of the flesh. Yes, the attractions that are in those things. And that dear man, you know, he then, because of that injury, was invalided out of the Navy. And he went to his grandfather's house, who read a sermon that was so blessed to his soul. And thereon he went forth to be, as we know, a prolific hymn writer, and also to speak in the Lord's name. And he wrote that lovely hymn, friends, number 7. And it may just be, you know, friends, it's such a beautiful hymn that you're walking through something and you think, why is this? What is happening? The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord is not with me. I don't understand what I'm walking in. I really can't get hold of it. And God remembered. God shall alone the refuge be. These are the words, friends. Too wise to be mistaken, he, in that which you're going through, that contrary path. Too wise to be mistaken, he. Too good to be unkind. And oh, like Medley does here, you know, he repeats the similar words. Don't we need them repeated? Too good. Friends, if you take nothing away this morning, if those words could rest with you, too good. To be too kind, too good, too gracious, too loving, to do anything, as it were, to destroy you. He won't, friends. Yes, you may feel that trouble will destroy you. You may feel like Noah, that the Lord's not spoken to you for all that period. There's darkness in the ark. But, friends, God remembered Noah. He will remember you. He will remember you. Oh, you may have been distant. You may have walked contrary. It's such a lovely word. Is Ephraim my dear son? Ephraim? Yes, he was an adopted one of the tribes, wasn't he? But he was still dear. But is he a pleasant child? Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him. I've not forgotten the Ephraims. Oh, they may have walked contrary to me. They may have walked in other paths. And some have said that this word Ephraim here almost refers to the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Friends, I saw it like this. It refers to the lost, dying sinners. Lost sinners, but the Lord's not forgotten them. Is he a pleasant child? I spake against him for his sins. Yes, I did. But I do earnestly remember him. I've not forgotten him. Despite his blackness, despite the evil thoughts of his heart, despite his waywardness, despite his lack of faith, I've not forgotten him. Oh, friends, isn't it lovely this? Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. Friends, forget this for a minute. Your heavenly Father, his bowels are troubled for you. They're troubled that a way of safety would be found for you, for your soul, for eternity. They're troubled that a way would be found for you in providence in the very thing that you have today. They're troubled. Oh, the troubling of those bowels we might interpret as internal organs. We need to be so careful, friends, because God is God. This is a reference of love, almighty love, that his bowels are troubled for his people. Oh, he won't forget them, will he? What mercy, what loving kindness there is, what favour, that despite that black picture that we've painted, despite all of that, he loves his people to the end, whom once he loves. Oh, friends, he never leaves, but loves them to the end, dear sinner. Oh, to the end. And across that final Jordan, that when Jordan's icy waves part, they will be found safe. And you know, friends, that does make me think here. You young friends, read this, that it says in chapter 8, it talks about God made, in this verse later on, God remembered Noah and every living thing. He did not forget the beasts. But he says this, God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. A wind, a mighty wind in the power of God. All the elements of nature subject to his power. And I thought of that as we were just talking there of the final Jordan. But also, you know, that river Jordan, that we don't often consider this. But Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided so that the children of Israel could go over. Friends, the sea has been divided. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Friends, I leave that there. But, you know, God remembered Noah and every living thing. His love, his mercy, his favour in remembering them. But we did touch earlier, friends, on the dying faith. Just touched on it. Oh, how beautiful that is. That prayer. Why should that man? He's a thief. Friends, hold on a minute. We talk about a dying thief. A thief, friends. Oh, you say, I've never stolen anything. I've never done anything. No, but this is the beauty of salvation. It's for sinners. The thief. Oh, yes, one there hanging. He's been stealing. And you'd be sure that he would have not just stolen small things to have been given that crucifixion death. Oh, what a man he was. And the other man rebuked, railed on Jesus, if thou be Christ, save thyself. But this is what, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And his prayer, friends, what a prayer. Three words, oh, that we might ever pray them. Lord, remember me. Remember me. And he says this, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, the grace, the salvation, the favour. He saw his sinnership. He saw his need of a saviour. And he saw that all in, as it were, in a few moments, friends. Oh, how wondrous is the work of grace. There it was, started, completed in a matter of moments. What a favour And that's our God. And that's his power. And that's his might. Yes, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. God remembered him. But oh, as we read here then, friends, and God remembered Noah. And one other word does come to my mind. I won't keep you, but friends, Isaiah records about, it talks about a city not forsaken. And they shall call them the holy people. Well, you and I will feel far from that. But the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. Oh, so beautiful those two words, friends. Sought out, because if we'd not been sought out, we would have been a city forsaken or an individual forsaken. But sought out, a city not forsaken. Well, how wonderful it is, the redeemed of the Lord, thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And earlier, this did touch my heart. Thou shalt be termed forsaken. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall be thy land termed any more desolate. Ah, have one walking with desolate land today, do we? No, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee. Oh, he may be silent. He may be not answering your prayer at this point in time. But we've sung about prayer, friends, haven't we? And the prayer of necessity. He will answer the prayer of necessity in his time, friends. He will. Note, in his time. The time when the ark should rest upon the top of Mount Ararat, some 16,000 feet above sea level. That time. God's time. Pray for it. Seek for it, friends. Wait. But his appointed hour and thy suit, that is thy matter, thou shalt obtain. Well, friends, God remembered Noah. What a word. So much in it, we barely scraped at it, have we? May he remember you and I. May it ever be our prayer. And may he add his blessing. Amen.
Let us close this morning by singing hymn number 606, tune St. Ethelwald, 58. Let saints lift up their hearts, and with a joyful voice the wonders of their King proclaim, and in the Lord rejoice. Hymn 606.
The King grows.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything thou hast seen amiss with thy pure and holy eyes, and do bless us each in the interval of service, and bring us up with that desire to thy courts this afternoon. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.